broadcast. It'll be a little bit hard to follow without a map. You need everybody take out the world map, because we're going to be referring to this map consistently tonight. There's a world map on one of the later pages of this little packet that you have. If you don't have the packet, just follow along with your neighbor.
You said, everyone's invited.
There's enough of this to go around. There's a world map. Now, unfortunately, there's only a map of Europe. We don't have a world map here. Okay. First of all, international dateline, Minatayr Minayan. Okay? In other words, who says there has to be a dateline? Just before we say the entire, to prove there has to be a dateline, let's, or even how the civil dateline works. If there would be no dateline, the following thing would happen. Okay, and this just shows why in a round world there has to be a dateline. But let's say that's fine. Let's say you travel from here to Los Angeles. And remember, there's no dateline. So right now it's Tuesday night here at 10:30. Let's round it up to 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock Tuesday night. So if you go to Los Angeles, which is 3 hours behind, because you're traveling west, and when you travel west, everything is happening later. It's 3 hours back. So now in Los Angeles it's 8 p.m. on Tuesday night. Again, let's say you're on a rocket ship that goes in 1 second. You're able to go, you know, 1 second, a whole time zone. So now it's 8 p.m. Tuesday night in L.A. Now let's say you then continue your westward travel and you end up in Hong Kong. Well, Hong Kong is another 9 hours back. So in Hong Kong, it would be 11 a.m. Tuesday morning. Okay? Now continue going until you get all the way to Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be 5 o'clock Tuesday morning. And then you continue traveling back to Baltimore, and it's now 11 p.m. Monday night. Because we've just gone back an hour, and it's 1 hour back. It's just 10 o'clock at night. Then 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock. And eventually, after going all the way once around the world, you're going to come back to 9 o'clock in 11 o'clock in Baltimore Monday night. And you know what? If you want Shabbos, right, just go back a couple more times, and it could be Sunday night, 10 o'clock, and Monday night, and then Sunday night, but say Shabbos, and Friday night, right? You can go back to the dorm, go to sleep, right? Shabbos. So obviously, something's wrong. Question.
It takes time to travel, though.
Let's say you could do it 1 second. We have a pretend a space machine. You can go 1 second, you could be there. So you're right, it's 10 o'clock in 1 second, okay? And 9 o'clock in 1 second, and 8 o'clock in 2 seconds. Fine. But by the time you go around the world one time, I could say it's 11 o'clock in 24 seconds, Monday night. And then Sunday night, and Matzai Shabbat. So why obviously doesn't happen? That story that I'm telling you doesn't make sense because there's an international dateline, which means there is some point that you're going to cross, and instead of going from, let's say, 5 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, which is what it is now in American Samoa, let's say, you're now going to go, instead of being 4 p.m. Tuesday, it's going to be 4 p.m. Wednesday. In other words, there's going to be a point where the world, so to speak, ends and starts over again. And that is what's considered as the international dateline. Or very simply put, one part of the globe is going to be, there will be a line, which we're going to define where that is halakhically, which says that this is the western end of the world. And in that western end of the world, we'll call that time noon Wednesday. And when you cross that line, you're not going back to 11 a.m. Wednesday, right? If you're going west, so it's 11 a.m., but it's not 11 a.m. Wednesday. Rather, this point is the end of the world this way. In other words, you don't say you're going to the west. You say you go east all the way around the globe, and you get 1 p.m., 2 p.m., da, 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 you'll get midnight Thursday, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., until you come all the way around the globe, and here it's going to be 9 a.m., 10 a.m., until finally you get to this end of the line, where it's going to be 11 a.m., and then noon Wednesday. This is 11 a.m. Tuesday, 11 a.m. Thursday, and noon Wednesday. Okay, that is what the line is, where you have Wednesday on this side, Thursday on the west. And it's usually go west, it gets earlier. You go noon to 11 a.m., and it's going to be earlier. Let's say it's even noon Thursday, right? Both times are noon. It doesn't have to be 11 a.m. It's noon. But instead of being noon the same, there's a line here which says this is tomorrow, this is today, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on and so forth. And what happens is, as time goes on and on and on, when it turns to 1 p.m. here, it's going to be 1 p.m. Thursday there. Etc. Etc. Etc.
True though.
Absolutely.
No, I'm saying that the international dateline goes between the same hour.
In fact, what? Let me speak out where the civil dateline is, and then I'll get to an interesting fact here, and that is that. So where do you draw the line? Now, obviously, it's hard to find any sources in the Torah outright, because the whole concept of the dateline was not negaya. Now, not that the Torah doesn't speak about not negaya things, but this case was not negaya because no one went into this specific area where everybody agrees the dateline is somewhere in the general Pacific range, and therefore in the days, even the Gemara, you had Bavel, and you had Eretz Yisrael, and you had, you know, and that was it. So it didn't matter that what's doing in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But later on in the, let's say, the Rishonim speak about it already, they bring a rabbi from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which we're going to see. But similarly, as far as the business world that we live in, it didn't become a factor until the 1800s, when travel was conducted. So therefore, similarly, they decided as follows. If you remember, we have a line running through England called the Greenwich, which is the 0 degree line. And that line runs through Greenwich, which is a suburb of London, and that's zero. So what they did was they said, okay, this is the center of the world. The end of the world is going to be the exact opposite of the 0 degree line, or a line which is 180 degrees east, and we're going to call that the international dateline. Now that line, theoretically, if this is Siberia, the 180 degree line would run through here. Okay, this is 180 degrees, and then it would run through the Aleutian Islands of Alaska. Okay, this is Alaska here. And this is Siberia over here. And you have islands known as the Aleutian Islands coming off of Alaska going till there. And then the line basically runs through the Pacific Ocean. So there's a problem. They decided that we cannot make literally this line run through Siberia, but rather we're going to zigzag the line. If you look at this chart, the dark line that begins, you see line C. If you go down, you see it runs east of New Zealand, those islands are New Zealand. Then it runs up, then it cuts to the left. Then it goes straight up. Then when it gets to the Aleutian Islands, it makes a left turn and then goes up between Siberia and Alaska. So what they did was they made it like this. Like that, and then all the way around the Aleutian Islands and then down. And the reason they did that was it would be very awkward to have this line run through Siberia, let's say, because if you have two Russians, one Boris on one side and Vladimir on the other side, and they're neighbors, right? They live across the street from each other. Well, Boris, it's going to be Thursday, right? And Vladimir, it's going to be Friday. There's going to be mass confusion, right? One across the street from the other. You think it's a joke. Even the time zone is confusing. I worked with somebody in the office who went to Southern California last week for the Rosh Hashanah, and he had a whole bunch of plants to go to. So there was a plant in Yuma, Arizona, that he had to go to, and the person from Yuma called him up and said, can't go because the FDA is coming today. And then he came from the office, so he made an appointment. A local mashgiach just goes in. But anybody who goes from the main office always makes an appointment because you want to make sure to meet the right people. So he comes in there, and the guy says, okay, you can't come because the FDA is coming. He says, look, I'm coming out to California. I'm going to a bunch of plants. I want to come to your plant. So the guy in Yuma said, okay, you can come between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. No problem. He says, fine, if that's what I'll do, that's what I'll do. So I'll go to the plant, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I'll go back to my hotel room and daven after I meet, you know, go to this plant. So he shows up at the factory, and he looks up at the clock, and he sees it's 7 a.m. Because Yuma, Arizona, is on the other side of the... Arizona is in the mountain time zone, and he was coming from El Centro, which is on the other side in California. So California, when it's 5 a.m., and Arizona, it's 6 a.m. So the guy forgot to tell him that you have to come between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., and for you, who are in California, where he was coming from, it's really 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. So he walked in the plant, and it was already 7 o'clock in the morning, so he apologized, but he didn't realize. But, like, you know, this mass confusion between Yuma and El Centro, which is 80 miles to the west, 90 miles to the west. But here you have, you know, an hour off, and it's very confusing. So the Kolshkein, if you have all of a sudden through a city or through a state, you have two different days on one side and the other. It could be technically different times. Well, at least, I mean, it's Shabbos by you, and it's Friday by me. It's Sunday afternoon. This guy's working. A Monday afternoon, and his buddy, you know, on the other across the street is off because it's Sunday. I mean, you can't do it. So therefore, they went ahead and they zigzagged the time. Now, the Shiloh in Halacha is, okay, where does Halacha say this line is? And obviously, it has major nafkaminas because depending on what day of the week it is, depends on, is it Shabbos or not? On which side of the dateline is it Shabbos or not? Now, some have proposed, and this is rejected by most Achronim, and say, well, you know, let's go by what the Minig HaMakom is or what the Kehillah does. But you can't really do that because, you know, where did that Kehillah get? In fact, Kehillahs, I don't mean Jewish ones, have changed the dateline. And someone asked before, is it really noon here or noon there? The truth is there are really 25 time zones in the world. Because watch what happened. There's a country, and this was all publicized in the news by the millennium. Everyone wanted to be the first in the millennium. Right? So who's the first? So there were two countries. So one country is a country called Kiribati. Kiribati, and I just want to illustrate this point, why you can't go by dates. First of all, Alaska used to be part of Russia. So technically, Alaska was the same day of the week as Siberia until, you know, Seward's folly. They bought it for, what, $7.2 million back in 1869. And they bought Alaska, and it became America. So everyone technically changed the day of Alaska, right? Period. Now, Kiribati is an interesting, is a set of islands in the South Pacific. And those islands extend all the way as far east of Hawaii. Okay, so this is Hawaii, where it is right now in Hawaii, it is 7 p.m. Okay, and they extend as far east as Hawaii. Now here is the furthest time zone to the west. This is American Samoa, we'll just call it Samoa for short, where it's 6 p.m. Okay, and once you cross the date line, you are in, let's say, these islands of Kiribati, where it's 6 p.m. Okay, but here it's 6 p.m. Tuesday, and here it's 6 p.m. Wednesday. Now, Kiribati had a problem, because the date line went ahead and went right smack through the islands. So you had two parts of the country which were on different days of the week. All these islands, which were as far south of Hawaii, this island was called Christmas Island. They have changed the name to Millennium Island in honor of that they were the first to bring in the new millennium. Over here, where it used to have the same time as Hawaii, which right now will be 7 p.m. on Tuesday, they decided it's too confusing that Eastern Kiribati should be Tuesday and Western Kiribati should be Wednesday. What, the United States has different time zones. It's something to have a different day of the week. Sunday, it's a mess. So they decided they're going to change the time zone.
How long ago was this?
Probably 3-4 years ago. And they made the date line has a major zigzag that goes as far east as Hawaii. So what's very interesting is that Samoa is actually 6 p.m. Tuesday, and Kiribati, Millennium Island, is actually 7 p.m. I don't know, Tuesday. This should be Wednesday. Right? So it's actually 25 hours ahead of the time.
Right?
They can do whatever they want. There's no governing body on the international deadline. That's the Daira. Which really comes out even more interesting is that at a certain time of the day, it's actually 3 days of the week. At a certain time of the day. When it's 11 p.m. Tuesday in Samoa, okay, it is, most of the world is Wednesday already, but in Eastern Kiribati, it's already Thursday. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at a given moment, right? At 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, it's going to be 6 p.m., it's going to be 11 p.m. Tuesday here, it's going to be Wednesday in most of the world, and it's going to be 1 a.m. Wednesday, Thursday over here. But the bottom line is that they can do whatever they want, but that just shows that halacha cannot just follow this whole, you know, mess of the time zone. Now, just derech agav for the Millennium News was that one of the countries, which I forgot already, Tonga. Tonga was very angry. The chutzpah, because Tonga was also on the eastern end, and they were very upset Kiribati was going to cop the spotlight from the country of Tonga, because this they get a lot of money, because you had tourists and parties and all that. So what Tonga did was, I believe this is true, we're at 6 p.m., they decided this year to have daylight savings time. Right? And that way, for the whole summer, right? Remember, it's summer down here, this is down under, so for the whole summer, time is actually 7 p.m. also, because they went ahead in order that they should also be the first ones to welcome in. So they had the King of Tonga, I heard on the radio, the 82-year-old King of Tonga, welcomed in the millennium for the Guns of Elf. And that was, that again, was you could play all the games you want and get away with it. Actually, New Zealand, the biggest civilized place, New Zealand, which did things more lishma, I guess. They have New Zealand is here. There's a set of islands east of New Zealand called Chatham Islands, and they are like 3/4 of an hour ahead of the rest of New Zealand. And then they also added an hour for daylight savings time. They were 15 minutes running behind these other countries. But that's the Geisha Dateline in a nutshell, just to illustrate how this works. Now, how does Halakha deal with this? Okay, enough of the parties. How does Halakha deal with it? So there are three major shittas that we have to talk about. And again, the topic of the dateline really addresses two issues. Number one is, where is the dateline? And that will have an impact on how do I know when Shabbos is? And number two, which is a separate issue, is when I cross the dateline, what halacha, wherever it is, if you fly from L.A. to Hong Kong, basically according to almost all shittas, you have crossed the dateline, how does that affect on my davening, for example? That's another shaila. If I've davened already on Tuesday and I cross the dateline and it's Wednesday, right, do I have to now daven mincha again? Because now it's not Tuesday afternoon, which is the mincha I davened. I've crossed the dateline, it's now Wednesday afternoon, but there was no shkia, there was no tzeis, there was no nothing. It's just the pilot announces we've crossed the dateline. That's a separate issue of when I actually cross it, what halakhic ramifications do I have. So we're going to talk about the first issue of where the dateline is. Now, one of the biggest pekiyim on this is a yid, a chashuv yid in town, Shmuel David Siegel, who I've mentioned his name in the past. He wrote a sefer, and he has his own sheet that which we're going to mention in the dateline. And again, Harbei Diyai Nishpech Al Zeh, there's many svarim which have been written, and again, we're going to basically just summarize the different sheetahs we shayna and come out with some sort of possible mahalach in the Hira, how to follow the plan. Now, the most famous sheetah, and this is the sheetah of seven Rishayna, is the sheetah of Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish, if you look at this chart here, you will see line B. And it says technical Chazon Ish. And I'll explain why it's technical in a moment. But basically, the Chazon Ish says that the Vibriyas Ha'olam, how do we view Yerushalayim vis-a-vis the world? We say, and there's riots, and I'm not going to get into the riots, but basically the starting point of the world began at noon on Yom Dalit. Starting point of the world, that'll be the world. The world began on a Sunday morning, right? Sunday, let's say Shabbos. But the starting point of the world is when the sun was created, or when we begin this period of
6 a.m.?
Noon. Noon on Wednesday. Right? Yom Dalit, the sun was created. The starting point was noon, and at that moment, it was Wednesday in the entire world. Okay, again, we starting point, again, not getting into love as a why that's the starting point, but we take the starting point of noon on Wednesday. That's the tkufa. That's something else. That actually was Tuesday, 6 p.m. That's the next morning when the sun rises. It's also a Tuesday night when the tkufa was, but that's not when the sun started, because it was already getting dark then. That's a different one. We'll get to the Pesach when we talk about the calendar. Now, so noon Wednesday is the starting point of this. Now, this is, by the way, the Tzad Chazon Ish Shita. This is based on the Baal Mahor Rosh Hashanah. Those that have learned Rosh Hashanah. I know Shaftel used to go through the studio as well. The Baal Mahor, the Kuzari. The Kuzari has been translated in English by my esteemed colleague, Rav Daniel Kropkin, a Rav in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And he types the whole Kuzari, not only in English, but footnotes, and he went through this whole dateline issue. Kuzari is a Hashkafa Sefer, but in there, he has a whole discussion on the dateline. And five other Rishayim hold that this. And it's based, again, that this Baal Mahor is a Rishon Daf Chaf. Okay, someone told me the Art School Gemara has a very good explanation, has a whole page devoted to this whole explanation of the dateline. You know, how to load up the Gemara into the Shita. And the Gemara over there, if you remember, is talking about how long you can see the moon, from what parts of the world can you see the moon, 18 hours, 6 hours, old, new, and so on. And that's the bottom line. At noon on Wednesday, my previous island, it was Wednesday in the entire world. Now, to say it was Wednesday in the entire world means, well, let's go through the world here. Okay? That means it was 1 p.m. here, and that means it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? Now I get to 6 p.m. Wednesday. Now, if I say that over here, it's 7 p.m. Wednesday, well, that's already Thursday, right? Because the day begins on Thursday. The day begins at night. So this can't be 7 p.m. Wednesday, but rather we go around the other way, 18 hours in this direction, until we go around the world, and we come back to this 7 p.m. slot, which is not 7 p.m. Wednesday, but rather 7 p.m. Tuesday, which is halachically Wednesday.
Where was it noon?
Noon in Yerushalayim. Okay, I think this chart might be clear. Line A. Line A is 35.2 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Okay, again, we're using 35.2 is using the modern numbers of longitude. It's 35.2 degrees east. That's what it's called. That's the line running through Yerushalayim. Well, 6 hours to the east is a quarter of the way around the world, which is 90 degrees to the east. So you go to line B, or better, you add 90. Everybody understand why we're adding 90? Because we only can add 6 hours. Because if it's noon in Yerushalayim, and I want it to be Wednesday in the whole world, then I can only go 6 hours to the east. 6 hours to the east, every hour is 15 degrees. 15 times 6 is 90. So basically, I could say the dateline runs right through 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. I got looking at the map here. Line B will run 125.2 east, and that line will run right through Siberia. Then it's going to run through Indonesia, and then it's going to run through the western chunk of Australia. And that is the technical shita of the Baal Mahor. and technically speaking, the Shita of the Kuzari. Now, according to this Shita is very different than the civil dateline. Okay, now we're going to modify this. The Chazanish modifies this in a moment, so I'll get to that. But basically, according to this Shita of the Chazanish, look at Japan. Okay, Japan is right east of this line. It's up here. So in Japan, it's on the other side of the line from Yerushalayim. What does that mean? That means that in Yerushalayim, when it's Shabbos afternoon at 12 o'clock, let's say, then or it's let's say it's 8 o'clock in the morning in Yerushalayim. Okay? 8 o'clock in the morning in Yerushalayim. What time is it in Japan? So Japan is about, let's say, 6 hours later than Yerushalayim, right? It's 6 hours to the east. So it'll be 2 p.m. Well, 2 p.m. what day? Now, according to the secular calendar, it's going, if it's Shabbos morning in Yerushalayim, 8 a.m. In Yerushalayim, then it's 2 p.m. in Japan, Shabbos afternoon, right? Because Japan is east of Yerushalayim. Everything is later than Yerushalayim. If it's 6 hours later than Yerushalayim, so if it's 8 a.m. in Yerushalayim, it's going to be 2 p.m. Shabbos afternoon in Japan. But according to the Baal Meor, and according to the Kuzari, and according to the Chazon Ish, it's not true. Because it's the other side of the line, which means it's not east of Yerushalayim, it's not six hours to the east of Yerushalayim, it's 18 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. Or, if it's 8 a.m. Shabbos morning in Yerushalayim, everybody's getting up to go to shul, then it's 18 hours earlier in Japan, it's 2 p.m. Friday afternoon, you're getting ready for Shabbos. That's a big problem. Because, well, what is it in Japan? In Japan, the Goyim are saying today's Saturday afternoon, and the Chazon Ish is saying, no, it's not Saturday afternoon, it's Friday afternoon. So you can do whatever you want. And when it's Sunday afternoon in Japan, and it's Sunday afternoon, it's 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon, according to the Chazon Ish, it's not Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. It's Shabbos afternoon. Which means you can't, it's you, you're calling it Sunday, you're wrong. You can't do Malacha because it's Shabbos. So you have a big problem. What to do? Now, the Chazon Ish modifies the Shita. And this Shita is based on the Yisai HaOlam, who was a Talmud of the Rush. I have the Sefer at home. I asked somebody to find it for me in Eretz Yisrael, and they brought it, and it's written in the hieroglyphic print that they used to print Svarim in. And I couldn't, you know what I'm talking about, right? I could not make heads or tails. You know, you can read a few words, but to go through it is impossible. I believe they've this was a Sefer from 15 years ago. I think they've reprinted it with nice, neat Ivrik Zad that everybody can read. So I can't say I've learned through the Yisrael Eilam, but this sheet of the Yisrael Eilam is that you cannot have a line going through land.
Is he going like Baal Meor also?
In other words, right. In other words, it's going like Baal Meor, but it's a modification. Chazon Ish brings a raya from the side of Eilam that the dateline cannot go through land, which means, and again, I don't know if this is the reason, but imagine if the dateline would go through land. Imagine if that would happen. It would go through, I looked it up on the map, it would go through a city called Changchun, China, right, which is near a city called Jilin, where we have a Vanillin factory that the Mashgiach goes to. Vanillin. Yisai Olam was a Rishon, he was a Talmud of the Rush. The Chazon Ish arrived from that, from Yisai Olam. And again, every time I speak out one name, there's probably five others, right? And just for, now, this line, okay, look at the technical Chazon Ish, line B. It runs through the northeastern section of China. The name of the city in China that it runs through is Changchun, which is near Jilin. Now, I was once talking to somebody about making arrangements to go to a factory for our Mashgiach in Jilin. And I said, that's near Changchun. He said, oh, Changchun. I grew up in Changchun. I said, really? The Chazon Ish holds the dateline, right? I didn't say that, but I started saying it's a city in Judaism that is very, very interesting. And I'm trying to explain to him that in theory, the Chazon Ish Shita would be the dateline runs through there, and you'd have the following problem. Now, the guy hardly spoke English, and I'm trying to explain to the Chazon Ish, But anyway, the line would run through Changchun. Now, picture Main Street in Changchun. Okay? You have on one side, if this would be the din, then let's picture Baltimore, right? Let's say it runs right down Park Heights, right? Just like it runs through Main Street, Park Heights in Changchun, it could run through Park Heights of Baltimore. If that's where we would live. You'd have one side of Park Heights, let's say the western side, would be one day, right? Let's say here, Park Heights. Okay, here's the line, and here's the dateline, runs right through Rabbi Tam Shul, right? Right here, okay? Next to it. Okay, let's say right through the parking lot of Rabbi Tam Shul. Great. So very good. So the capsule is right now, it's right now Friday, 4 p.m. Then you cross the line, and it's Shabbos 4 p.m. You know, so you gotta shar, you gotta B'nai Jacob, Shar Zion, right? And it's already there, Kishal Shudas. Right? They're making Kabbal Shabbos, and they're Kishal Shudas. So you wanna have two Shabbases? Very good, no problem, right? You start here, right? When they finish all Shudas and Shar Zion, you cross the street, you go to a Tav Shul. For Kabbal Shabbos, you have 2 days.
And
you wanna skip. Right, yeah, you wanna skip Shabbos. Very simple, just, you know. Comes over to Tabshul Dav Mincha, then cross the street and Chat Ma'ariv, right? Right? And then, but that's what would happen. That's what would happen in that case.
L'chaira. I mean, they talk about that also, because you could, with the flights, you could technically lose out on Shabbos. But that is what would happen in the Aguda of Chenshul. Now, but L'maisa, therefore we say, Chazanish says, we don't say this. We have a concept of Nigrar, which says that any landmass, which is, as long as it's the landmass is there, you follow the eastern section, is Nigrar Basar, the western landmass. Which means, so by China, by Russia, it's easy. You just take the eastern landmass, and it follows the rest of Russia. The bigger Kiddush is in Australia. The bigger Kiddush is in Australia, we say the eastern side is tuffle to the western side. Okay, even though the eastern side is number one, Raivan on the east, and even the main cities are on the east, Sydney and Melbourne on the east. The only major city on the western section is Perth, which is the west coast of Australia. But we say that the eastern chunk of Australia is Nigrar after the western section, and therefore all of Australia is the same day in a week as Eretz Yisrael, and all of China is the same day in a week as Eretz Yisrael, and all of Russia is the same day as Eretz Yisrael. A few hours later, we say Nigrar. So that solves the problem there.
Why do you go west?
Why do you go west? That's a good question. Well, by China and Russia, it's Pashim, because you go by Rav, right? Why? I'm not sure if else the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael, or someone wanted to bring a Raya, else maybe say something. Chavim, you could therefore throw in, you know, the eastern section, and there you could call that Wednesday also. I've heard different svaras, but I don't have a concrete answer.
Well, there's no water there. I mean, there's land all the way till Atlantic.
To the Pacific, right. Well, what you have is... No, in other words, what he's asking is, why does Perth should follow Sydney, not the other way around? Now, there may be some Achrayim that hold that, you know, no, you go to Chazanish literally, and even Sydney and Melbourne have a Shaila, but the Minig, and they're major kahilas in those communities, and the Minig, you know, is to go with this Shita to say Nigra, and that you don't have a problem. Now, what that means is their line basically is going to run along the east coast of Russia, and then it's going to stay on the east coast of Russia, it's going to go around Korea, okay? It actually never touches China, because the eastern end of Russia then touches North Korea and South Korea. Okay, at that point, the China doesn't touch the ocean. Okay, no, but I'm just saying. Then it's going to run down, straight down again, and then it's going to go through the Indonesian islands. And then when it hits Australia, it runs along the northern coast of Australia all the way to the east coast, and then all the way back around down.
They want to
Japan? No. So the two major problems, according to the Chazanish, are Japan and New Zealand. Because Japan and New Zealand are both islands. Okay? So now let's draw another map here to illustrate this.
Let's say there's one island, and the water goes up and down, so split into two. So
is
that, would that be considered?
I don't know. Ask the Shiloh.
Why is Japan a problem?
Because Japan's an island. Because what you have here is
completely to the
east of that line. In other words, the Kazanish's line was over here, okay? And we're going to call this Asia, okay? And then what you have here, and then we're going to call it, here's Australia here, which means it's Friday in Japan, and it's Friday in New Zealand, and not Shabbos. And when it's Sunday over here, and it's if it's Sunday over here, I'm sorry, if it's Shabbos over here, and it's Sunday over here, right? So according to the guy, it's Sunday afternoon, right? They're watching a football game, soccer game, cricket game, whatever. Over here, right? Over here, and I'm in New Zealand in cricket, right? It's Shabbos over here, it's Sunday over here, they're watching cricket, but the Chazanish says, no, Shabbos goes all the way till here. So it's Shabbos in Japan, and it's Shabbos in New Zealand.
Maybe that's how the guy got keeping Shabbos on Sunday.
Right? I don't think so. Now, this came to a famous story with the Mir Yeshiva when they were in Japan, in Kobe, Japan, I think it was 1942 or 1943, the Shiloh came and what to do. So they wrote the Paiskim of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why the Chazon Ish has a Shita, and that's why, as we will see, other Paiskim, Gedolei Paiskim of Eretz Yisrael, and they needed a consensus, especially for Yom Kippur. For Shabbos, just keep 2 days, if you want, if you so desire. But Yom Kippur, how do you keep 2 days? So they had a whole meeting of Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael to come to a consensus, and, you know, there were Chulukei Days in what to do. But again, that in a nutshell is the Chazon Ish. You have the 6 hours east of Yerushalayim, and then we go ahead and we say Nigra, and we make the zigzag lines around the continents. You don't have a problem. Now, one other point, according to the Chazon Ish, one other point is when you take off from an airplane on Sunday from Australia, you have a problem. You may have a problem. We just have to be careful what you do on the airplane. Why? Because when you take off on a 9 a.m. flight Sunday morning from Australia, what's really happening is that you're flying, it's now Shabbos, it's now Sunday. As soon as you take off on the plane, it's now Shabbos. Because according to the Chazon Ish, the dateline is right here on the water. In fact, if you take a swim in the ocean in Australia, right, then as soon as you get out off the, you know, you step in the water, right, you're off the coast, it's now technically yesterday because you've just crossed the dateline.
Can't see Negro or anywhere.
I don't know, maybe. Like maybe until, you know, until the water reaches, you know, here, right? I don't know. Talk in.
Airspace of Australia is still considered, let's say, you're flying the other way.
Yeah.
The other way. You're flying west.
Well, if you're flying west, you have a big problem. Because why are you flying west on Shabbos? In other words,
you fly west on Sunday.
So then it's Monday here.
No.
Where'd you leave? Where'd you leave?
Australia's Sunday.
Right. So if Australia's Sunday, then Shabbos is in Hawaii.
Right, but you're flying west.
From where?
From Australia, you want to fly to China.
That's fine.
The airspace isn't a problem. We say Nigra for airspace also.
Yeah, because it's over the land. Unless you fly like this. If you fly like this, you're gonna have a problem because once you get over the north, right, the north coast,
right,
is the dateline. That could be easily overlooked. Any north coast east of this line.
What is this map?
It's not only what.
Japan is sort of Nibla in the
funnel
of Asia.
No, but it's an island. It's an island.
I understand that. But once
you see, it's an island. But Nigra works on land. You can't say Nigra if there's water.
I'm saying once the line moves over, I shouldn't.
But there's no land move over. Straight. There's a water hefsek. There's a big water hefsek here. I mean, there's a little map. This looks, you know. Right? Nigra says.
Once you move the line to the end of Asia, wouldn't we start to just continue down the street?
No. Well, we're going to see Shita like that. But in other words, the Chazon Ish is saying, no, it's really here. Nigra is a Chiddush. I take land, not just a line. The Chazon Ish
didn't
talk to
Japan, right?
Correct, yeah, that's where they were.
So it's not only the eastern coast of Australia, they have a problem with fishing on Sunday.
Correct, you have a problem on the north coast too. That's right.
And
exactly.
The southern coast too.
Yep. Tanzania, which is over here, you have a problem also. But right here, you have a problem. Anywhere east of this line, you have a problem. Okay, again, that's the Chazon Ish. Now, Meir Chisa, we have the Shita of Rabbi Chaim Chutovitschinsky. Rabbi Chaim Chutovitschinsky holds that Yerushalayim is the center of the world, indeed. But if Yerushalayim is the center of the world, then that means the Yerushalayim is Lahavdil, the Greenwich of the world. Just like the Goyim, so to speak. And this is a mushroom here, not a Tzarev Tzak. This is not why he says it, but I'm just using it as a mushroom. Just like the Belt says. That Greenwich is the center of the world, and therefore the opposite side of Greenwich is going to be the dateline. So too, Yerushalayim is the center of the world. It's the center. If the center of the world, then where's the end of the world? Well, go halfway around the world this way, go halfway around the world that way, you're going to come to the same spot. Or the end of the world is 12 hours east of Yerushalayim. Okay, so if this is Yerushalayim here, then the end of the world will be 12 hours to the east, 12 hours to the west. Or, in simple English, 180 degrees to the east and 180 degrees to the west. Or, put in simpler terms, if you go 180 degrees east or west, you come to line E, which is called, in modern map terminology, 144.8 degrees west of Greenwich, which is a line cutting right through the Pacific Ocean and right through Alaska. Okay, everybody see line E? Basically cuts right through the South Pacific. It runs east of Hawaii. It runs through Alaska. Okay? That is the Shita of the Rebbe Chaim Chutovitschinsky, who is better known as the Geshra Chaim. when I wrote this, I wrote an article in the Kash Currents about this topic, and I showed it to Rabbi Siegel. And what I already made was, I wrote, the Gesh HaChaim holds this. So he told me, you don't want to write it like that, because someone will go through the Gesh HaChaim, which is a Sefer HaVeilus, and say, it doesn't say it anywhere there. Right? The answer is, it doesn't. Right? He wrote other Svarim that say it, but again, Rabbi Chaim of is classically known, his most classic work is the Gesh HaChaim, so I refer to him in that, just so that it's easy to remember who the Baal Shita is. But anyway, this line runs east of Hawaii, so now we have a problem in Hawaii.
What is his justification to go against the Rishonim?
Because the Rishonim are not clear. None of the Rishonim say...
We look
at the Gemara differently. In other words, let's take the Gemara, which is the main source of the Rishonim. In other words, most of the Rishonim are going on the Gemara. The Baal Meor, and I think the Ran and the Rush repeat verbatim the Baal Meor Shita. That's one of the Rishonim. Right? That is the Gemara. There are other Rishonim. If you learn those Rishonim the way they understand the Gemara, then you could conclude that the date line is where it is. I'll be pashtus. They're not talking about a date line, but they're talking about the end of the world, 18 hours to the east, 6 hours to the west. But Rashi learns a totally different pshat in the whole sugya. Right? So if you go Rashi's pshat, you have no raya from the Gemara to the date line.
Okay?
So now you're left with the where is it? Then you have no raya. The only potential raya from any sugya is that sugya in Rosh Hashanah. So the raya to where it is. That depends how you learn the sugya. If you learn the sugya like Baal Meor, you have a raya. But if you learn the sugya like Rashi, you have no raya. So if you have no raya, you got to start from scratch.
It makes us feel that to say Shemayim is the center of the world. I can't ignore.
But you're not ignoring. But you have no right, because I'll learn pshat like Rashi in the sugya, and the sugya, the deadline.
Yeah,
Rashi.
Some Rishonim told you, and some Rishonim didn't tell you. So.
But again, Rashi. But Rashi, in other words, why are you machlik to call it the other Rishonim when I learn the sugya like Rashi? I have no right from the sugya. So I have no right from anywhere. Except, you know, this judgment of, you know, Yerushalayim is the center of the world, of Yisvara. So, according to the Gesh HaChaim, you have a problem in Hawaii. What's the problem in Hawaii? The problem is let's make another map here. Okay, here's the secular dateline. Okay, here's Hawaii. And here's the Gesher Chaim line. Now, the problem there is that, okay, it's right now, let's say Thursday night. Let's say we'd be standing here Thursday night. It would be 11 o'clock at night. Thursday night, 11 o'clock. So what time is it in Hawaii on the clock? Hawaii is 5 hours behind. So in Hawaii, it would be 6 p.m. Okay? If it would be Thursday night right here, it would be 6 p.m. according to the calendar, according to the Goyim, it would be 6 p.m. Thursday, right? It's 11 p.m. Thursday here. It's 6 p.m. Thursday in Hawaii. No problem. The problem is, according to the Gesher Chaim, where this is the line over here, you have crossed the line. Yes, Thursday over here, but over here it's Friday. Which means it's 6 p.m. Friday in Hawaii, it's Shabbos, Kabbal Shabbos. So we're standing here 11 o'clock at night, Thursday night talking, and in Hawaii it's already, listen. I'll get to Alaska in a second. Right? And therefore, according to the Gesher Chaim, Hawaii is a problem the opposite direction. Meaning to say, well, we spoke about Japan and New Zealand, we said according to the Chazon Ish, when they say it's Sunday, it's really Shabbos. By Hawaii, it's Fakir. According to the Gesher HaChaim, when the Goyim say it's Friday, it's really Shabbos. If you're Sunday in Hawaii, you have no problem. Because it's Sunday in Hawaii, according to the Gesher HaChaim, it's Monday. No problem. But if you're a Friday in Hawaii, according to the Gesher HaChaim, it's really Shabbos. So you have a serious problem. The more serious problem is, we've been talking about when the guy says it's this and they say it's that. Now we have Paiskim that say, Adarav, Fakir. And that is that in Hawaii, when the Chazon Ish says it's Thursday, the Gesher HaChaim says it's Friday. Shabbos is starting. And when the Chazon Ish says it's Friday in Hawaii, the Gesher HaChaim says it's Shabbos. And in Japan, it's the opposite. Right? In Japan and New Zealand, according to the Gesher HaChaim, you have no problem. It's like everybody else. But according to the Chazon Ish, it's Shabbos. So when the Gesher HaChaim says it's Friday in Japan, the Chazon Ish says it's Shabbos in Japan. And when the Gesher HaChaim says it's Shabbos in New Zealand, it's Sunday, right? So what do you do? And you could be standing there on Friday or Shabbos and Sunday and not know what to do. That is the second shita in this. Now, I want to speak out as a side note that the Gesher HaChaim himself clears whether you say Negro also, which in this case. Now, you would say here that the western part of Alaska follows the rest. Otherwise, right? If you follow Negro the other way, In other words, it's the whole North America and Central America until the Panama Canal, right? You know, when they built the Panama Canal, at least they took care of South America. Follow, you know, Nome, Alaska, right? That's a big Kiddush, or Anchorage, Alaska. What? I mean, you would say that. So Pashtus, you say Nigrar, and you say that Alaska is not a Shiloh. Again, on one side of the Gesher HaChayim. The Lushan Islands are going to be a problem, right? Because Lushan Islands are islands, so you will have a problem. But Lemaisa, according to the Gesher HaChayim, declares whether you say Nigrar, and therefore, and it's Anchorage, Alaska. Okay, let's draw this up here. Here's Hawaii, and here's Alaska. Okay, so Nome is over here, and Anchorage is over here, and Fairbanks is over here, and Vero is over here. Right, all these cities have problems. Juneau is over here, you don't have a problem. Juneau is on this side of the line. So if you don't say Nigrar, and you go with the Gesher HaChayim, then you have a problem in Anchorage, Alaska also. That is the Shita of David Feinstein Shlita. And that is, he goes with the Gesher HaChayim, and he says you don't necessarily say Nigrar either. Which means he advises people not to go to Anchorage for Shabbos. Because of this problem. Any Alaskans here?
You ever had one in your
car? They go in the summer? Okay. But Lemai said most. It's a chiddush. But nonetheless, that's what he holds. No, he holds like Gesher HaChayim, I think, in Peshitta. And he doesn't say Nigrar. So again, in Alaska, according to that Shita, you'd have a problem. Again, Hawaii is a bigger problem. But even Hawaii we're playing one Shita off the next. We'll see a third Shita. Hawaii is somewhat of a problem. Japan and New Zealand are biggest problems because you have the Chazanish saying it's the wrong day. Hawaii is a problem because you have the Gesher HaChayim saying they have the wrong day. Okay, Alaska is less of a problem than Hawaii. Hawaii is an island, right? You don't have Negro. You're just left with the Machlokes B'Shainim and Achrayim. However, when you come to Alaska, you have very strong studim to Svimekel and go like their Shabbos. But number one, according to the Chazanish, they're correct. It's only according to the Gesher HaChayim, there's a tzad to say they're incorrect. Right? According to the Gesher HaChayim, if you don't say Nigra, you have a problem. But then again, according to the Chazanish, if you don't say Nigra, you have a problem in Melbourne and Sydney also. Right? So, if you're Mekel by Melbourne and Sydney, which is the Minigal Island, then you should be Mekel by Anchorage also. But I'm just speaking that out just for Shlemis.
If you could go to Anchorage on
Sunday. But you don't want to be there. On Friday, if you're there, you have to keep Shabbos and Suffolk.
It is a Suffolk, even though you're passing like the Gesher HaChayim?
Then that's why it's a sub. Well, I mean, yeah, you still never want to go. I mean, you're not going to just write off the Chazanish. When I say Paskin, it means that you have to reckon that Shita.
How do you know your Shabbos on the Friday?
Like, no demalacha.
That's
a whole schmooze. There's all the Achrayim on a field day with that. How to do that. So the Suffolk, and it gets very tricky. It'll be the Suffolk dick a day. We'll come to the Pesach, we'll come to what to do. Okay, good. Now there's this third Shita, okay? And I'm going to lump a whole bunch of Shitas into one. Okay? And I call it the Mid-Pacific Paiskin. Sounds like a, you know...
Like
a Mid-Pacific Paiskin sound like, you know, good place, a nice place to vacation. Good Paiskin vacation, right? This is a Shita of, number one, Atzei Sada is Rabbi Siegel. The Bnei Tzion, and he has a Shita, and I'm just going to briefly mention, his Shita, it matches another Shita of the Rabinowitz in Eretz Yisrael, who wrote on this topic about 40 years ago, I think. Tumim Rabinowitz. And in there, I'm not 100% sure they love this, but basically, you go to Siberia, which is the most easternmost point of the world. Land. Right? Because scientists will tell you that they're all one, that they're all connected. And then they all split off, because there's not much space between, you know, if there's Alaska here, right, and this is Siberia over here, all you have is the you have the Bering Straits with two islands. One island is called Little Diomede, and the other island is called Big Diomede.
Diomede,
I don't know, that's the name of the island.
And
you can walk, I think a few miles, 2 or 3 miles. And in the wintertime, like now, you can skate or walk from one island to the other. You have to cross, I guess, Russian border patrols. But then again, I don't know who's skating across ice water, which is, you know, 50 below zero, without the wind chill. But anyway, those are two islands. Big Diomede is a bunch of Eskimos at Big Diomede. There is another piece of land that sticks out here called St. Lawrence Island, which is also over there. And then you have the Aleutian Islands coming down. But the bottom line is that his shita is that you take the easternmost tip of the civilization and you draw a line. Straight down.
From what?
The easternmost point of Siberia. Where Siberia ends, that's the line. And that on this chart is line number
D. That's eastern from Eretz Yisrael.
That's 169.7 west of Greenwich, which of course is east of Eretz Yisrael, right? Eretz Yisrael is over here, and they have Russia and Siberia. See, it's the tip of Russia and runs right straight down.
What's the other side of it?
The other side of what?
The other side of the date line, of this date line.
Well, it would be the same issue, and that is, according, this is the closest to the civil date line. In fact, it almost matches the civil date line, except for the zigzags, right? Because this basically says, take the tip of Siberia, now where is the civil date line? The civil date line runs slightly to the west, that's 180s over here, and then took a curve and basically runs between Little Diomede and Big Diomede, which is a mile off of Siberia. Okay? And then zigzags back over to here. So basically, except for this 10-degree span, right, which is not much is over there to really worry about, because there aren't that many islands in this little band, basically this shita is on track with the civil date line. More than that, you have the shita of the Bnei Tzion, which is a long tshuva, and the Bnei Tzion has a little bit of a zigzag, a crooked line. And he says, imagine how the Torah's date line was, the secular date line was mechamed to the Torah's date line, and basically he uses a similar type of cheshbon, except he makes a crooked line, because he learns you go by the end of the day, and you have to cheshbon how long Tzitzik HaChavim was. In other words, the Chazanich said 6 hours to the east, finished, or 12 hours to the east. And that's the end of the day. But the day really goes by Tzitzik HaChavim. And Tzitzik HaChavim is going to depend. So his line, I believe, runs something like a bit of a zigzag. Not a zigzag, but when it gets to the equator, it cuts back the other way, down. Not far. But it's like a curve. It bulges. But it's either this way or this way. I forgot. One of the two. And he says, imagine, you know, it's Mechavin, and they were Mechavin. And this basically is very close to the civil day. But if you look at line C, you see that in line D, it almost parallels the civil date line. C and D are very close to each other, right? Because that's what Purim. Right? And basically, there's not much in between. Some of the Kiribati Islands and the Aleutian Islands will run in between them, but basically, it's all the same. Okay? So that is the third shita. Now, okay, everybody got it? So we have three shitas.
Is this just taking Chazanish to extreme?
No, it's saying Sabir is the end of the world. It's the end of the land.
You have no rise from anywhere, that's just a Sabar?
I think there are rise. There are definitely rise, but I forgot them, and I don't want to get into that also.
You see Nigra on St. Paul's
Island? I don't know. That's a good Shiloh. Or on St. Lawrence Island, according to this, it will immediately. St. Lawrence Island is just south of Siberia. I think it's actually part of Alaska. I don't know.
What does it say? Says
Nigra? I mean, they don't talk about it. They're not much need for Nigra here, because it's just a line through most of the Pacific Ocean, nipping certain islands. So, you know, we fall into the same shallow as the Polynesian sauce. There's not many people on St. Lawrence Island. I mean, I just saw a tour book of Alaska that talks about, you know, like way out places to go when you're a gnome. And one of the things, you could get a tour of St. Lawrence Island and, you know, some of the Aleutian Islands.
Well, more ice.
What? I don't know what you see there exactly in these places. And if you go, who's going to go on a Friday afternoon anyway, right? So, Lamaisa, we have three shittas. Now, what does one do? So, there's a slew of Achrayim and Paiskim how to do this. I will tell you Rav Heineman's shitta on this. Rav Heineman holds, very simply, that you go for the Iker Shabbos, you go for Sarayim shittas. Again, we're dealing with three basic shittas. Okay? You have number one is Chazanish. Number two is you have the Geshra Chayim. And number three is you have these mid-Pacific Paiskim, which is a basic line over here. Now this will work, unless you're in some of these middle islands here, okay, Fiji and things like that, you can have a rive. By the main civilizations, you're going to have a rive. And that is, for example, by Japan and New Zealand, okay, you only have the Chazanish telling you that you're wrong. Rive shittas hold that you're right. When I say you're right, meaning you could keep the civil date line and be correct. Rive shittas hold you are right. The Chazanish holds you're wrong. So therefore, you keep by Rive as your Iker day of Shabbos, and the day that we're not the Rive, you go your Machmer Dereisus Misafik. In other words, the Iker b'Dimikra Din, you go with the Rive. As far as though since we have a Chazon Ish that says it on Sunday, it's Shabbos, so it's a Suffolk Deraisa, one of the Deraisas. So when it comes to doing Deraisas, you have a problem. So therefore, if you're in Japan, you can go shopping, and you can, right? Your money, that's all the Rabbanan. But if you don't turn a light on, that one should L'chachil refrain from.
It's filled with a bracha?
L'chairu, yeah, because it's, again, you're treating it, the Iker, on bracha is only the Rabbanan. No, so
something
like that. Well, that's only something brachas is sometimes when you're doing the mitzvah maker, then you can take the bracha along with it. But that, well, there are kehilas in Japan and New Zealand. I once faxed the Kashrus Agency in New Zealand, asking them which day they keep a Shabbos, and they told me they keep it like locally. And I said, was there an original Hira? And they said, you know, that's just what people did, because I guess the original settlers in New Zealand, you know, didn't know who or what to ask, and therefore that became the minhag. So they, everyone in Japan and New Zealand will tell you that they always have guests that keep the extra day. That definitely happens. But the local resident, no, in Japan, the minhag in Japan only, New Zealand does have an Orthodox kehilah. Right?
JCC.
Right? New Zealand. Japan right? What's that? The what?
There's a GCC, that's a shul in all the
regions. Oh, okay. In Wellington, there's another city in, there's a big city there called Christchurch. That's another big city. I know a Rav who was offered a position there, but he felt a little bit funny that he'd be the Rav Rashi of Christchurch. So it didn't work out into his, you know. Imagine that on a resume. But in New Zealand, though, they're not. I mean, I guess if a resident there has to come up, you know, I go, they go bust a rug. I don't know. But as a visitor, one should be machmer. If you move there, you know, or you're born there, right, then you have a good shiloh. Because lemaisa, you have a chazan ish telling you that every Sunday you're being machal Shabbos. So that's, you know, that's not a light thing. But again, if you live there, you know, one would get a hira of what to do. Now, that, and that I think is predominantly the minig in New Zealand and Japan. To be makir on Sundays. Now, Me'ina Chisa, on the other side, we have Hawaii. Now, Hawaii, Raif Shitas hold. Again, Raif, the Chazon Ish hold, they're correct, Hawaii. And the Mid-Pacific Faiskim hold, they're correct in Hawaii, like the civil day. But according to the Geshe Hachayim, they're wrong. According to Geshe Hachayim, Thursday afternoon, you get ready for Shabbos, because it's really Friday afternoon. So again, Rabbi Hanan would say on Friday, one should be machmir in the deraisas, not to do malacha deraisa. Now that's a little bit of a bigger chiddush in the sense that the Chazon Ish, as other achrayim and rishayim and so on, said to be chayshir for the Chazon Ish, I think most people are, whereas by Hawaii, I think less people, I'm just speaking now practically, I'm speaking psacht in here, but I think people go to Hawaii regularly, on a regular basis, and not worry about the Geshe Hachayim. But again, that is a daya. And therefore, friends are behind him. And you do have to worry about it, not to malach on Friday. Doesn't mean you can't go. Doesn't mean you can't go, but it means that Friday is potentially Shabbos. Now, where you get into Shiloh, where the Rav is when you start getting into some of these little islands here, like Kiribati or some of the Aleutian Islands, which are right here in this band. And then you get into, well, who's the Rav? Because amongst the Mid-Pacific Paiskim, as we said, there is a variance even in this band. And if you're in this 10-degree band, you then have a bigger Shiloh of, well, who's the Rav?
Oh, you're going by
Yatsi Asadi. I think I mean, he didn't say that. He just said that area is a shit. Yeah, that group of shittas that
hold. Whoever is on his side.
Yeah, the Menet Siyah, though, but you could have a bandwidth between Yatsi Asadi and the Menet Siyah. So it's two and two.
Those three
general areas. What I mean is, if you're right in here, you can have two versus two. Right? In other words, here we can make it all as one, so you have 2-1. But once you do this, you have 1-2, and then 1-2. So it's a bigger topic. Again, that gets tricky. Now, I have seen. Written again, it says Rabbi Hanan holds. Again, so Friday in Hawaii, you would put on tefillin and you daven everything weekday. If you're in New Zealand on Sunday, everything weekday, except you can't do malacha deraisa. Period. That, right? It's that. That's all that happens. Now, I have seen Paiskim who brought down that will tell you that okay, maybe you should be matzah shal Shabbos in Shemoneh Esrei Misafik. Then the shaila is where to be matzah shal Shabbos. Now, I saw someone brought down in Shemoneh Tefillah, right? L'chaira, you know, if you're going to be Maskech Shabbos, you know, maybe do it. It would make more sense to do it where you say Aliyave normally, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if you daven a weekday Shemoneh Esrei and you say, you would say Ritzei, let's say in the bracha of Ritzei, right? You say be Maskech Shabbos in Ritzei, you'd be Yaitze and Shmakaleinu. I don't know if you'd be Yaitze, right? If you say Aliyave and Shmakaleinu, it doesn't work. So I once saw this brought down. I saw another interesting chap, and again, it was our slife on the chaps here. And that is to say, if let's say you're in New Zealand, okay? Listen to this chap. You're in New Zealand for Shabbos. So Friday night, it's Shabbos, according to the Gesher Chaim, and it's Shabbos according to the Mid-Pacific Paiskim, but it's only Thursday night according to the Chazon Ish. So when you make Kiddush Friday night, right, it's Mehechet Teisi, it's really Shabbos. So I saw someone bring down that wait until Plaga Mincha Shabbos afternoon and make Kiddush. That way, B'mon of Shach, you'll be Yaitzeh. Why? Because if Shabbos is Shabbos, then you have till Shkia to say Kiddush. And if the halacha is like the Chazon Ish, then it's already, right, it's already Friday afternoon and not Plag.
Right. Pass the whole
Shabbos.
What's that? You
go to pass the whole Shabbos. Yeah, I don't know if you have that. Whatever. I mean, Rabbi Haim doesn't hold, he holds much simple. Friday night, you go by Rav, it's Shabbos night, right? No problem. I'm just saying you could sit and go through to cover as many potential shittas as you want, in even within the framework of tefillah and so on and so forth. Now, you missed it, my eyes were closed. Now, that's it. Okay, Mr. Shem, next week, so look at those are the different three shittas. We were hoping to cover this in one shot. Next week, Mr. Shem, we will talk about when you cross the date line, what happens. When you fly from L.A. to Hong Kong and the date changes, how does that affect the kindness, et cetera, et cetera. Hold on. Attendance.
Oh, we made the page for like 2 rolls.
No.
Yoni
Barron?
Yes.
Okay, Chaim Glaser?
He was here for a minute.
Yeah. He's supposed to get a book, but I guess I'll get him next week. Chaim Berry? Chaim Berry's here?
It's a science.
Shlomi Baum? He's here. Zeb Tendler?
Not here.
Shlomo Krasner was here. Arya Klein?
Not here.
Ari Major?
Yes, for this?
Yosef Najib?
Yes.
I'm putting on the gondolas.
Ruben Grossman? Ruben Grossman was here? No?
No.
For my, I don't know if he's here. Elliot Crown? I see Elliot was not here. He's at the wedding. Tom Tendler?
Here.
Alfonso Zachman?
Not here.
Stewart?
I'm 30, if you want to put that down.
Oh.
Why don't they call you Ari when you're Avi? You're right there, alright. Azir Brown is right here. Okay. Ariel Kott?
Yeah.
Akiva
Mattel.
Yeah. Jacob Lester Kramer?
Here.
Oh, I'm going to take
you
a book.
You need a
book?
No problem. You want a book?
I need a book.
I should be fine.
Ariel Kott?
Do you have change? I can
take a book. Ari Major, take a book?
I accept.
That's fine. Ari Major? What about Moshe Wiesel?
Hey.
Here, but she was always that thing. Okay. Rishi was here. Chaim Zassner.
Who?
Sanzer. Sanzer. I'm Sanzer.
Yeah.
Not here. Okay. One second. You got. You have six guys with books, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so far I have two and myself.
Hold on. Who copied books?
The guys. Right?
No. Copied now.
Sure.
Your change.
So I took a book.
Yeah.
So I want to
be
lucky.
Got all seven. And Rishi took a book.
Who?
Rishi.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
Very good.
There you go. No. I'm going after you.
You're my
Rishi.
Yeah. Rishi.
I didn't want to know
if you were thinking. Okay, so you got six. And who didn't get? Chaim Kohler.
I guess so, yeah.
Why not?
Chaim Kohler.
No, room 426.
Yeah.